Hi, this is Kyle Higgins, and you're listening to the Geek Sense.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast that is a nightmare on Podcast Street. That is because today we will be looking at our favorite scary Halloween monster type characters as we do one or another patented top five list. You know how we do love our top fives here, at least I do, and I force Greg and Chuck to tag along with them sometimes. But before we get to our top five, how's things been going for you guys?
Things are terrible. Every aspect of my football life sucks.
It's been a what? My
NFL team sucks. My fantasy team sucks, and my flag football team sucks. All three phases, man. I'm just shot. I'm done.
It's awful. So I'm with you. It's been a rough.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So those that don't know, Greg's a Vikings fan, and the Giants played the Vikings, and I'm a Giants fan. And I guess there was a game. I missed it.
Sure you did. It's all established on Twitter, our conversation back and forth with GIFs about the game.
Yeah. You can go check that out. It was, I just knew it was not good to go. I'm just saying, it was a rough sports week for me too, Chuck. You know, I had the Giants like crumble, and then the Orioles game on Tuesday, which was
that was bad. Which I was caught brutal. The end of that.
11 innings, bottom of the eighth. Really, Ubaldo? You're gonna bring in Ubaldo?
I know. It was funny. I was watching it with my dad, and for those that don't know, the Orioles have one of the best closers in the entire major leagues, if not the best. And my dad's sitting there, and he's like, why do they not have him in? Why are they not bringing him in? And I'm like, I don't know. And then, you know, the innings are just ticking away, and they still don't bring him in, and they lose.
Yeah.
It was a big topic on the news the whole next day, so I don't know.
I kind of understand he's like, he wants to get a lead, but I'm like, you're playing with fire when you're, you know, it's one thing if you're playing the top of the ninth or the top of the 11th, but your bottom, oh, man, that was awful. But I got to give hearty congrats to Greg and his undefeated Vikings as the Leafs at the time of this record. So
thank you. Hopefully we'll be when this record comes out still.
Yeah. So how are things going with you, Greg?
Pretty good since the Vikings are 4-0. I finally got two wins in fantasy football finally, so I'm 2-2. And I no longer have a dumbass cold sticking around on me. And Chuck and I are going to go to New York City this Saturday. So,
Man,
it's all things are coming up, Greg. All things are coming up, Greg.
sort of, yeah. Almost everything.
We will be on special assignment this weekend, and we'll have plenty to report next week about the New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I am super jealous, but happy for you guys. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun, and there's probably going to be tons of announcements this weekend as New York Comic Con rolls in, I'm sure. So I'm hearing rumors for things like footage from the new Iron Fist series and all that good stuff. So we'll see. But my week has been interesting. I mean, yeah, the sports week has been rough, but I did go to over to a little bit of a day trip to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and met some family. We kind of met like a halfway. Some of our family that were in Scranton came down and visited, and we met them in Lancaster at this little pumpkin patch thing, which was a lot of fun. Did a little of a corn maze, and my son had a great time. But there was a lot of cool things. They had this like pyramid of hay, which he loved, and then like these tire things you can climb up on. So it was a good time. It was nice because it's not too busy.
Was he declared the hay king?
No, it's white shrew one again. I swear to God. Every year, he's always the hit king.
I think it's rigged.
And it must be. It must be. But I did get some good apple cider, so I was excited about that. You know, can never get good enough apple cider. But the other thing that I got to do was I watched a lot of the Luke Cage series. Actually, I had 2 days off. I had a nice little mini vacation where I just didn't. But we'll talk about that a little bit today. But before we get to that, and we'll do a full episode next time, probably, we'll get more full details. I did want to bring up, and inspired by that, of course, Marvel loves their synergy. They love to take what's happening in their TV and movie universe and try to recreate it in the comic book. So right now, Marvel is doing their next new relaunch, I guess, with Marvel Now again. So they're having a lot of new titles come out this week that we're recording. One of the big relaunches was Cage Number One, which is a miniseries done by Tarkovsky. Is that the guy who did... Is that how you pronounce his name?
No idea.
He is the guy who brought us things like Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack. You know his art style if you've seen it. But, you know, he I don't think he's ever... I don't know if he's done a comic previously, but he brings a lot of that same style to this Cage series. And it's not like the TV show or anything like that, or even like the current Power Man and Iron Fist comic that's out right now. It's a lot more cartoonish. It's like written as if it was taking place during the 70s, as if like you were to pick this up and it was released during that time. There's some callbacks to like classic stories of that era and things like that. He's wearing his classic yellow shirt with the tiara and all that stuff. Overall, it's a fun book so far. It's, you know, I do like Tarkovsky's art style, which I'm probably saying that wrong, but I think it works well for this comic. If you liked his cartoons, I think that same sense of humor translates here. The story so far is pretty simple. Basically, there's heroes have gone missing, and he's kind of just traversing around town trying to discover, you know, what exactly happened, and some run-ins with some characters and whatnot. But you know, I like the animation style. It's very cartoonish, and like, you know, he gets into fights, and like their body parts look all kind of like over exaggerated, and it's like humor personified. It's very much not meant to take anything seriously, so it's interesting comparing it to the TV show, looking at that. And I would say, you know, pick it up if you're a Cage fan, Luke Cage fan. If you watch the TV show and like, oh, I want something, and you really like that, you want something more along those natures, that nature, I don't think this comic really would do that. Power Man and Iron Fist is a little bit more like that, but I don't know many specific Luke Cage stories that you would go to that would say this is along the same lines as this one. Maybe some of the stuff in New Avengers, really. But he's, I think, a character who's been kind of redefined in the last maybe decade or so. So I would say if you watch the TV show and you're like, I want something more like that, this isn't really this. I would say Power Man and Iron Fist is a little bit more along that alley. That too is not all that serious, but it's a great book. It's actually one of my favorite Marvel titles currently, but this isn't quite there. It's kind of, it's like a nice little cleansing of the palate. It's very simple, straightforward, and probably take you a good, like, you know, 5 minutes to read, and you'll feel happy about yourself. So that's at least a positive. I don't know, Greg, if you had any interest, or Chuck, or if any of you picked it up, or have any desire to pick it up, or even know what I'm talking about.
I haven't picked it up. I've also had when I was going to go, I had a migraine that day when I was going to go to the comic book shop, so I didn't get last week's. Probably not going to pick up this week's because I'm going to New York City. So I've been without comics for like the past 2 weeks, so I haven't really looked at it or anything, and I'm trying to dwindle down on my list because I've spent an outrageous amount of money at cons lately. So,
yeah, have you seen any of the new Marvel Now titles that you're interested in? I don't know if you saw what was coming out and if any of them kind of fancy.
No, I have so much trouble trying to keep up when they turn over to a new like they do it constantly, and between Marvel doing it a lot and DC doing a lot, I find it very hard to keep up anymore with that kind of stuff. So I really don't know what's coming out, what the changes are, and all that kind of stuff. So it drives me a bit batty, but what are you gonna do?
I mean, I guess like this isn't like they're not rebooting the universe. They're just kind of I guess it's just in a way they're doing this yearly, where it's more of a like, here's a big introduction to a lot of new books that are coming out. A lot of the old books are still continuing, but The Cage number one came out this week. Also, Jessica Jones by Brian Michael Bendis and Champions, which was kind of the big one they were going for, which is like Young Avengers. It has Young Nova, Miss Marvel, the Hulk, and maybe someone else I'm forgetting. But that was written by Mark Waid. I know that was one they were pushing a lot. Overall, though, I've read Cage and I've read Jessica Jones, which actually I liked a lot. I think that was quite good. If you like, that actually might be a better option to go with, because it's that to me falls much more in line with the tone of Luke Cage in the cartoon, or in the TV series than this comic did. But speaking of Luke Cage, as I mentioned, we're not going to go in full detail. We'll actually probably do a full episode where we can go dive in headfirst into all of the 13 hours of Luke Cage that I watched way too quickly, probably. So, but I'm just curious, you know, non-spoilish thoughts, overall opinions so far. I think we've all finished it, but thoughts on Luke Cage as a series, you know, liking it, you know, is it as good as you hope? Disappointed?
Yeah, I thought it was complete trash. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I enjoyed it a great deal. I wasn't sure where I would fall on it because, like, I love Daredevil. I didn't particularly connect with Jessica Jones that well. I didn't enjoy that as much. So I was kind of wasn't sure what to expect, but I really, really enjoyed this a lot. I think one of the things that stuck out to me was like the music in this was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It seemed like everything like just fit, like even like the music building to like the action sequences and like the dramatic moments, like the music was just perfect throughout the entire series. I thought it was awesome. And it made like a really cool feel for the show. Like there were times, which I'm sure they were going for, but there were times when it felt like a sort of like an old 70s like detective show or cop show or something like that.
See, I was thinking more along the lines of a blaxploitation film kind of feel.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of themes going on in there. It gave it a pretty cool feel, like just some of that twangy music and stuff. Like it felt like very 70s in some parts like that, but it also mostly felt very modern for the most part, like with everything that was going on and politically and everything like that. And I could see like all this stuff like actually happening, and I'm sure it does on a daily basis. So it was very real, very real. But yeah, I liked it a ton. I think the guy, is it Michael Coulter? Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was awesome. Did a great job. A couple of the people I weren't particularly fond of their performances, but I thought he was amazing, and some of his close like allies were pretty good. But I guess we can get into it more next week.
Cool. Greg, overall thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Chuck on a lot of his points. And I definitely agree about the music. I really love the music in it, and it definitely fit. It definitely gave it a 70s feel kind of to it. And I agree that it kind of felt like a blaxploitation kind of a film from back in the day, which I really enjoyed because I enjoy those films. There's a lot of messages they're trying to get through and everything, but overall, like the messages didn't like overcompensate for the story, but I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot more than Jessica Jones, maybe not quite as much as Daredevil, but it was still definitely up there, maybe a very, very close second.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. Like, I like Jessica Jones, I guess, probably more than you guys did, but I think I did like Luke Cage more than Jessica Jones for sure. Again, just to agree, I think Daredevil to me is still the best. It's interesting like how, though, each of them are kind of certainly their own thing without really feeling too separate. Like, I can see them all coming together, but they all kind of have their individual identity. Like, they don't, like, it doesn't feel like I'm just watching the same show. Even more so, I mean, even similar, you gotta say, with like WB or CW with Flash and Arrow and how those shows are very different in tone. And this isn't so much a tone thing, it's more of a style and execution. Like, you know, Daredevil is very, you have that martial arts aspect of it. It got a little bit more into supernatural, probably even more violent, I would say, than any of the other series. You know, Jessica Jones is kind of neo-noir mm-hmm. kind of atmosphere. And this is, like you said, blaxploitation, huge hip-hop, very much celebration yeah. of the Harlem culture. It very much fits the title character. And a lot of its themes are very overt, you know, are there for sure. They're not trying to hide it. You know, yeah. Even a lot of the biblical references, which I didn't really expect, and I thought, though, ended up working really well. There are some plot elements that, I guess I would say plot conceits, which we can get into next week, that I thought were a little hard to buy, but overall...
I was having problems with the plot. I thought it was a lot of it was kind of filler kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, I get that wasn't my problem. More so as if there was connections to characters that like felt like they, I don't know, like it seemed like okay, if you know basically the relationships, the characters that I understand why they were there, but they seemed kind of like. A lot of coincidences had to happen for this to occur, which I mean, I guess, you know, you have that with some comics, but Chuck mentioned, the lead actor, Michael Coulter, is great. I really like the lady who played Misty Knight as well. And I didn't even know she was going to be in this. I wasn't really paying attention to much of like the cast list, and I didn't realize that she was going to play a major role like she did. And, yeah. There's actually a lot of characters from a lot of actors that were in The Wire. I think I counted up to 4 or 5. That I'm like, hey, that's right. And they were playing similar roles somewhat, but I liked it a lot. Like you guys mentioned, the music, like overall, Marvel properties don't use music all that much. They're kind of just, it's just filler. It's there. It sets the tone, but it's not really overt in how much it affects what's going on. With this, it was put, you know, first and foremost, you know, getting a lot of iconic legends and from a variety of different, from, you know, more hip hop to more classic R&B, and a lot of the times where it would inform what's going on more so than the characters. But that's what I think was really strong about it, that even though I think I like Daredevil more, the amount of quality characters was the strongest with this compared to the other series. I just felt like there are a lot of really good, interesting characters beyond that of Luke Cage. And some of the performances, I'm curious, which we'll talk about later next week, which didn't work for you, Chuck, because there was a few, one specifically that I felt, like one character specifically that I thought... was a little bit of a disappointment overall, but I was very happy with it. I enjoyed it. I do think I made the mistake and watched a lot of it too quickly, and I think I need to go back and rewatch some of it, but it was quite good, and I think Marvel's kind of hitting it out of the park with this. I'm super excited for what Iron Fist is going to be. It's weird. It's like I went from like not having any TV shows to like there's a lot of TV shows to watch now.
Okay, The only question that matters today, did you guys see the Stan Lee reference?
I did, and I took a picture of it.
Yes, nice. Yeah. It was kind of obvious in this one. It was like, I was watching, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I felt good for noticing it, but then I realized everyone else did too. So I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But hey, I got to, you know, there's a lot of cool callbacks that this has. And that's one thing too, I thought it... like how it integrated a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, especially like the Justin Hammer. I don't know if that's a spoiler, but like how he played into this.
Yeah, they had him in there a lot of name mentions on him.
Yeah, which was unexpected because like he that name hasn't been brought up since Iron Man 2. So that was kind of funny. But I think it makes sense because if you bring in Stark technology, it like... I think it gives it a different tone immediately because you're just thinking of Tony Stark and you're like, why isn't Tony Stark there? But Hammer Tech, you can use it without it, like without bringing that in, and but still kind of geek out about it at the same time.
Yeah, they also could have gone to like Oscorp or something since they have Spider-Man in the universe now. So
that's true.
But, yeah. But I think Hammer was the right choice.
Yeah. I do, like, watching this, I almost wish in the first season of Daredevil, I don't think it's a spoiler now that it's been over a year, but how they killed Bob Ehrlich, like, I just wish they kind of kept him, and just around a little bit more, because now that they have the Daily Planet, not the Daily Planet, that'd be weird, now that they have Spider-Man, they could have brought in the Daily Bugle and stuff like that, but, you know, what are you going to do? But we'll get more into that next week. There's so much more to talk about, but... there was another Netflix series that Greg just finished, which ties in really well with our top five monster characters or top five Halloween scary characters that we'll get into. And I know, Greg, you finished Stranger Things, getting a lot of buzz, a lot of people talking about it, loving it. Curious if you're sharing in that love with them.
I am sharing in that love, but I don't think I'm sharing quite as much. I can see how it built up so much love among people, because it's very much like a lot of nostalgic points to it. Like you got Dungeons and Dragons, there's comic book references. Like it felt like watching like the Goonies, or there was a whole bunch of movies that you could be like, oh, it's like this movie. Oh, it's like this movie. Oh, it's like this movie, all from like back from our childhood and everything. So I thought that aspect of it was great, but I think that built it up a little bit too much in people's minds. I enjoyed it, but I think it was kind of a very simple story. And I felt like there kind of was a little bit of filler in there, a little bit. It was still overall very enjoyable. I loved all the kid actors in it, especially Millie Bobby Brown. I thought she was like perfect in that role of Elle. But it was definitely very good, definitely in the line of stories that I like with like these weird experimentation type of things that are going on. And I knew I've heard of the Project Ultra, and the it was also based off of the Montauk experiments, which I've read a little bit about. I don't know too much about, but it's definitely in that realm of things. And and the feel that they gave to the whole thing, it was very 80s, even the way like the picture itself looks, the film itself looks like it's from the 80s with how the colors are portrayed and everything. And I believe I heard somebody talking about it, and they kind of put a filter over the top of it. Like they took scans of old film from the 80s, and they kind of used like a scan of that and put it over the top to give it a feel of the 80s, which I thought was really cool. But like it's a lot of it is pointing you towards the 80s, which is cool to kind of relive that and everything. And it was definitely in my my genre of film as well, with kind of a B-rated horror or science fiction kind of thing, because I love any kind of movie that's B-rated, but this is much higher quality than that, but it just kind of has the feel of it. But yeah, I thought it was really great. I can't wait for season 2, which I believe they're going to come out with, because they definitely left open a lot of doors for that at the end of at the finale of the season, this first season. So really looking forward to that. So yeah, I was glad I watched it. It wasn't as outstanding as I thought it was going to be with how people were talking about it, but it was still very cool.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of see what you're saying regarding the story being simple, but I guess I was okay with that, because I tend to, like, I think the problem you see a lot now is where plots get overly convoluted, and yeah. I thought that it was there enough, and like there were, you know, you had some mystery aspects. It wasn't like rewriting the book on, you know, yeah, a lot of those, like a lot of its concepts have been done before, you know, the evil corporation, the parallel universes. And I agree that maybe it gets a little overpraised due to the fact that it is super soaked in nostalgia, and we are kind of in a generation that loves that type of stuff.
But, yes.
I think what ultimately ended up, like what I, like you mentioned, like that I loved most about it were just the kid actors and those characters.
Yes, they were great. It was very Goonie-esque almost.
Yeah, they felt very much like a candy. Actually, kind of what I thought of, Goonies is a good one, or even E.T.
Yes, and E.T. was also another one. Yeah.
And especially just like how the kid actors felt like kids, and they didn't feel like they were, you know, they're forced like overly adult, or that, you know, it just felt like they were legitimate.
Well, I know who I thought did a really good job. He was almost background. Was the main characters, the little boy where they would play D&D down in the basement. That father played that role perfectly, and he's so background. But he was just like this so douchey, kind of not paying attention dad at all to whatever's going on around him. He was so clueless.
Yeah, he was a little bit oblivious. I liked... I think my favorite guy was like the toothless little.
Oh yeah, I loved him too. He was great.
He was a good time. I didn't like the the teenagers weren't, I wasn't as like fond of that story. That one I wasn't as into as much. It was okay.
Yeah, it was interesting. I could see where they were going with that. I definitely, they did a good job, because I didn't like that Steve kid with the hair and everything that was trying to get the girl to sleep with them. And like, I don't want to ruin the end part, but they did something there that I was like, really? Really? Oh, you're killing me, guys. You're killing me. I thought that you were going with a different direction with it, and then you just slammed it back this way. How dare you?
Yeah, I guess what I liked about that was the progression of that character. Like, he goes from, like, you know, you like him, you hate him, you like him, you hate him. And
no, I didn't like him pretty much the entire time.
All right. Well, maybe it was a haircut. Maybe it was a haircut. So.
He just seemed douchey the entire time to me. I'm like, this guy is a giant prick. This is the kid in high school that I hated.
Yeah. Well, like they said, you know, not all nostalgia is good, I guess. You know.
Yeah, well, high school was terrible for me. I hated high school, but yeah, overall, really good. I would definitely recommend people check it out if you're into B-rated, like anything for like it. If you're our age, it's going to hit all the nostalgia points for you, so you're going to enjoy it. I think Chuck might enjoy it as well, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Chuck, you haven't watched it yet, right? If I'm not mistaken. Stranger Things.
No, I have not.
Yeah. It's worth watching. I mean, you know, if you watch the first episode, if you like it, you know, keep continuing. But if you don't, it lets you know exactly what it is from the get-go. So, cool. But yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere, and then like it kind of blew up, like, and so yeah, I'm kind of worried about the second season, just because of it's hard to repeat that type of success twice, so we'll see how it goes, but you never know. So alrighty, though, but in the mood of Stranger Things, as you know, things get weird and scary, and being in the month of October, we thought we'd count down our top five favorite scary characters. We would count down our top five favorite scary characters, and we'll do just that right after these messages. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we are counting down our top five favorite scary Halloween-themed characters. And to keep it fun, we're keeping it open. So we're thinking TV, comic books, movies, all that good stuff can be located in our top five. Actually, Chuck, you're the one that came up with this idea, so I think you'd be a good place to start. Looking at your number five, I guess, you know, if you want to kind of run us down, if you had any specific process and getting your top five, or and what your number five actually is.
Well, I kind of like approach this list like just thinking about scary characters, and I kind of just stuck to the movie realm.
Nice.
And it was pretty much like characters that sort of get me in the Halloween spirit every year, just like automatically. They're kind of the ones that I enjoy seeing on TV or just seeing anywhere, like when you're out shopping or something. So I kind of stuck to those, but a couple like personal favorites too. So I guess one thing I should add too is that I do like a good deal of old school stuff when it comes to like Halloween and stuff like that. And it's hard to beat the classics sometimes. So I'll start my list off there. My number five favorite Halloween character is I guess Halloween, say scary, whatever. It's not really Halloween, but a classic movie character, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Nice.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
It's a kind of obscure one that nobody really picks, but I like those old movies, and I know there's a ton of old like horror movies and stuff, but this one, the original one from like 1954, I've actually seen, and for whatever reason, I like really loved that movie, and I thought it was cool, like the suit that they gave the guy and the makeup and everything. I thought he looked really cool, especially for that time period, and just the idea of, you know, kind of being in the jungle and there's this random lagoon with the scary creature, and it was just a cool. A cool character that they kind of came up with, and one that always kind of fascinated me.
It is a really great look. I'm surprised that there has not really been, you know, we've seen a lot of Dracula movies, Frankenstein movies, but that's not one we see a lot of reboots or, you know, sequels to or anything like that. It seems to be, I mean, there were, but in today we like, you get a Dracula movie every 2 years, but we don't really see Creature of the Black Lagoon all that much. And I think there's some cool things you could do with that character.
Yeah, I should add, I've not seen the couple of sequels. There was like two right after the original. There was like The Revenge of the Creature and then like The Creature Walks Among Us or something like that. I have not seen those yet, but I have seen the original. Thought it was really cool. And he actually has a name. He's called Gilman.
Really? Nice.
Yes.
Gilman.
Hey, Gil, can you come over here for a second?
Nice.
I picture him with, like, you know, Stewie's voice or something. Oh, yeah, sure, come over.
Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
I have not.
Okay, because they have, like, it's not necessarily a reference to that character, but it's, like, a reference to, like, a sea creature joke that it's a great payoff at the end, so I don't want to ruin it for you, but, yeah.
I guess the reason I connect with the two is, like, I kind of grew up in the country and like with like around like swamps and ponds and stuff a little bit, like not that I live in like Louisiana, but like I'm just saying like being around ponds and stuff. So it's kind of like you always picture that, you know, it kind of sticks in your head when you see that similar setting and you're kind of like, oh, you think of that creature, you know, is he in the pond? Is there something weird in that pond? You know, you don't really know. So that was always something that kind of carried with me in my childhood, I guess.
Nice, nice. All right, Greg, moving on over to you. Any specific process you were thinking for your top fives? And what is your number five?
First, it kind of was like which characters are coming first and foremost in my mind. And then it was what about those characters made them so outstanding to me? Yeah, so for my fifth spot, I chose – it's kind of a group of characters but they're all kind of the same thing, but not really. It's the Gremlins, which I really like that film. I loved the sequel as well. I actually liked the sequel more. I thought it was just amazingly bizarre and weird. But I like that they all have their own little personalities. And I like the fact that they're not super scary, but they're very humorous and got a lot of satire going on and everything. And I just love the design of them and kind of like the behind the scenes stuff with how they're created and everything like that. That's why they made my list is just for humor and the looks and kind of behind the scenes stuff to create them and everything.
You gotta love the classic puppet look. And it's, sadly, this is still on my list of shame. I've still yet to watch Gremlins. I need to.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Did you see the second one?
I've seen none of them. No.
Oh, okay, I like the second one where they're in New York. It's bizarre. It's even more bizarre because they have one that dresses up as a woman. It's.
Yeah, they got really weird there.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, and that I think that's why I love them.
I have a question. Do they make Gremlins pop vinyl?
Yes, they do.
Nice. Do you have it?
No, I don't.
Okay. I was going to say, I could picture you like coming home and like keeping it away from water at all costs.
Not eating after midnight because, you know.
Right. Very cool. I do like Gizmo as well. He's adorable.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Guillermo del Toro is adorable. So.
He is. They're kind of similar looking.
I get. They both got a lot of hair, I guess, you know.
We just lost our sponsorship.
Yeah, and big face, I guess. I don't know. But let me get out of this as quickly as possible. So for me, I went up with a hodgepodge of different things. I just kind of, when I was coming up with my top five, just thought of when I think of like Halloween or October, five characters that come to mind are, you know, for a variety of different reasons. Some of them scare me. Some of them are just inventive characters from some of my favorite horror films or properties. Some are just some great characters that I associate with being scared or horror properties. So I don't really have. I try to do a little bit of both and keep things fun. And the thing is, like, a lot of the classic horror films, like Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween, I think I watched way too late. I've watched, like, Halloween, actually, for the first time, the first one this year. And Nightmare on Elm Street, like, I watched it way too late, and I think it didn't really have the same impact as it did for a lot of people. But one horror movie that I watch is one that I think doesn't get talked about a lot. It's one of those smaller budget horror films. Actually, two of them. One's called The Collector. The other one's called The Collection. But the character for my number five is called The Collector. He's in these two movies, The Collector and The Collection. And his kind of gimmick, his look is basically wears like a skin for a head. But like, what's really interesting about him is not like who he is, it's what he does. And he kind of sets these elaborate traps inside of people's homes and makes them try to basically, it's this almost gigantic cat and mouse game where you're trying to get free and you think you're going to get free, but like there is a lot of like wrong moves. He's kind of this like ingenious man. He does it's impressive what he can do in such a short time because he tends to.
So he's Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
You know what? Like that, it could easily be that those movies could easily be a prequel to this. Like if you watch it, you're like, yeah, like he got a lot of those ideas, or he could have been a kid who loved watching Home Alone. But I found it very creative, and I'm not a fan of like the torture porn type of stuff. And I wouldn't call it, it's not nowhere near that, but it's just one of those things where you have yourself trying to work out like, okay, what would you do? Or, you know, you think, okay, this is a good move. Or it was really good at foreshadowing what might happen. So I think both are streaming. I think The Collector or The Collection is streaming on Amazon Prime. So if you're looking for a good horror film to watch, I think that's a good one to see, especially if you like something like Cube or things like that. But he's just an elaborate, it's like if Dr. Doom became a horror villain in a way. So that's kind of why I like him. So he is my number five, The Collector. Not to be confused with The Collector from the Marvel Universe. Different guy, but similar concept, maybe. I don't know. But all right, bringing it back over to you, Chuck, what is your number four?
All right, so last one went old school. I'm going to go back to old school at the end of the list, but this one's more like middle school, kind of.
So very emotional and can't control its hormones, is that?
Right, and a little smelly, you know, needs some deodorant. this was like kind of similar to how you explain your movie. Like, I didn't see this when I was younger. It was probably a good idea that I didn't, but I saw this movie like way later than I should have, and it was on my list of shame for the longest time. But I finally crossed it off like a year or two ago, and that is Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs.
Nice,
yeah. But as soon as I did watch it, I was like, this movie is amazing. I thought the Anthony Hopkins character, Hannibal Lecter, was pretty awesome. Just because, like, it's scary because of, like, how smart he is and, like, how meticulously, like, he could plan out his actions. And it's just scary because people fear, like, intelligence like that. And, like, they're... Even in the movie, like, they were afraid to, like, say too much around him because he just gathers information based on what you say. And, like, he gets insight into your character and personality based on the things that you say because he was a psychologist and a very smart man. So, and you throw that in, you know, with the desire to want to, you know, rip your face off and wear it, well, then... You know, you have a classic horror movie villain. So.
a lot of face wearing this episode. So
yeah. Right. But yeah, there's a lot of great characters in that movie because it was technically the other villain in the movie was Buffalo Bill. Yeah, the Buffalo Bill character was based on the true story of Ed Gein, who, you know, would cut people's skin off and make clothing out of it and stuff like that. So I mean, he was a great character in the movie as well. But I just think the Hannibal Lecter character kind of, you know, he was the main bad guy, the villain, the one, the real guy that everybody was afraid of. And they're trying to go for him for help in the beginning and stuff like that, but just like a master planner, someone that's not physically imposing, but it's his intellect that really frightens you because he's just diabolical.
Yeah, and I'll just say I will speak more on that. I'll basically just say I'll agree, and I'll keep it at that. So, Greg, moving on over to you. What is your number four?
I'm not sure if many people have heard of this particular character. I did not see the original film, but I did really enjoy, and I probably saw this way too young, the movie about that movie, Count Orlok. I saw him in the film The Shadow of the Vampire, and it creeped me the hell out. He's a vampire character, but in the original film, there was this gentleman that played Nosferatu. The movie was Nosferatu, and they had this gentleman play the character of Count Orlok, and he's supposed to be a vampire and everything. And he played it creepy back in the day, so I'd be really interested in seeing it. But the thing is that the guy who is playing him, people weren't sure if he was actually a vampire or not, because he was like so dedicated to the role and everything. So this one kind of goes deep, because it's not just the character that's creepy, it's also the actor that portrays him is creepy. So I just found that to be really interesting, and the fact that he creeped me out so much as a child, with these like really long fingers, and he's just bizarre looking. Look him up on Google, Count Orlok, but it's the whole story is very interesting. The movie about the movie is Shadow of the Vampire, and the original is Nosferatu. So definitely check those out. I definitely want to check out Nosferatu if I ever find it.
I think it's streaming on Netflix.
The whole situation is very bizarre. So
I actually have not seen Shadow of the Vampire, but I have seen Nosferatu, which is, it is very creepy. Now, it is a silent film, but like, it's just, his look is just, it does feel real at times. Some of the special effects don't hold up all that well, but he's a weird looking dude. Is Willem Dafoe, is he the guy who plays in Shadow of the Empire?
I believe so, yes.
Dafoe, he himself looks like, you know, a goblin, and so it works out well.
Yeah, it does.
So, nice. Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure Nosferatu is streaming on Netflix. I could be wrong. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of those movies that's in the public domain, or I think.
I'm kind of almost too scared to even maybe watch it, but I will.
I think if you did, you'd be less scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts off, I mean, there are elements that are certainly scary, but once it gets into the special effects, considering it's a movie that's nearly 100 years old,
yeah,
you know, that all of it holds up very well. It's though, I think, better than the Dracula, but I don't want to step on any toes. But anyways. Yeah. All right. My number four. So we're talking about scary characters, and I think, yes, obviously Halloween is a time for scary characters, but Halloween's also a time for the treehouse of horror when it comes to The Simpsons. It's honestly the first thing I think of when not the first thing, but growing up, that's what I remember. Like, Halloween wasn't over until I watched the episode of The Simpsons of Treehouse of Horror back when that show was good. 12 years ago, and now that's on season 40, whatever it is. But one of the biggest things with the Treehouse of Horror were the two characters, Kane and Kudos. Kudos? Or, I don't know.
You say tomato, I say potato.
But of course, they're the classic alien characters from that of The Simpsons, and they had a lot of classic episodes. They had the one where they impersonated Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, and they ran for president. They had the one that's obviously a take off the Twilight Zone episode where they bring the Simpsons into space, and like they have the classic bit with the How to Eat Humans book.
Oh, I love that episode of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, yeah. So, they're just a lot of fun. They're kind of goofy. I just think that Simpsons have done a lot of fun things with them throughout the years. They always show up here and there about to take over the world, but never quite there. So if you're a Simpsons fan, I think you'll get why I love them as much. I don't know if they still use them as they do, because I have not watched The Simpsons since, I don't know, man, it's been probably a decade. So, but I had to include them on my list. So I had to throw some love for King and Kudos. Kudos. Again, saying it wrong. Anyways. But that was my number four. So we're already at number three, so throwing it back over to you, Chuck. You're number three. You've gone classic. You got mid-classic. You going to go with another classic, maybe Coca-Cola classic, New Coke? I don't know. Pepsi-Cola or Crystal Pepsi, whatever.
Well, original Coke was pretty scary, so. No, I think I'm going to go newer school here, and I'm going to go kind of like terrible B-movie, because nice. I don't think a lot of people really like this movie at all, but for whatever reason I do. But this character is called the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers. And I particularly, when I think of it, I think of the second one, Jeepers Creepers 2. I guess another name you could call him, like at the end, the guy has the sign up, he calls him the Bat Out of Hell, stuff like that. But it's like this concept of this creature that escapes from hell every 23 years, and he can like stay on Earth for like 23 days or something like that. Just like everything about the movie is just cool. Like, it's very corny. It's very like, it's kind of terrible in a lot of ways. Like the the makeup and costume on this guy, like, it's, you could tell their budget was like crap, but for some reason it's still kind of like just, it just kind of like gets me going for Halloween. I remember like first seeing it back when I was in college, and it was like the week of Halloween, and you know, the one night I got home late and none of my roommates were home, and I didn't have any homework that night, and I was watching scary movies, and Jeepers Creepers 2 was on, and I remember thinking like, wow, this movie's really awesome. And you find yourself, if you've never seen the movie, like the first half of the movie, he's kind of like terrorizing everybody in this like farm country, like cornfields and all that stuff. And of course that reminded me of my childhood a little bit too. And then you see like the second half of the movie, it's like them trying to kill it. And you find yourself like heavily rooting for them to kill this thing. It's like you're rooting for Rocky against the Russian in Rocky IV or something. Like, you're just like rooting. You're like, yeah, freaking kill him. Like, they're trying like all these different things to kill it. And it's just like a really fun time. But I like that character, like his face, when you do finally get a good look at his face, I think it's a really genuinely scary looking creature, because it's not too over the top to make it look like an alien or anything. It's still very humanoid, but it's just like kind of like the scarred skin and sharp teeth and stuff like that. And it's just invokes a very frightening look and everything from it. But yeah, I always got a kick out of that character and that movie and stuff. So
I can't help but think of the song that they always play, the Jeepers Creeper song, which sounds scary by itself.
Jeepers, oh, where'd you get those peepers? Where'd you get
those? Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I did not expect Jeepers Creepers to come up. I had no idea you're a fan, but that is interesting, like those movies that you tie to Halloween with, because I have some of those same ones that, like, for some whatever reason, like, I always watch 28 Days Later every year. Like, that's like a tradition for me. I don't even know why. I did it like 2 years in a row and I realized it. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just continue this going. So I've been doing it now for, I don't know, like 6-7 years. So
nice.
But very cool. All right, Craig, moving over to you. What do you got next for us for your number three?
For number three, I have a character, well, characters yet again, but this time from a TV show that you don't really expect in the horror realm too much, because it's a sci-fi show, but these characters definitely are, and it's the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who, and they are just menacing. Not really scary when you're looking at them, because it's just a stone angel, and it's like, oh, okay, here's a nice sculpture. But then if you look away, they move. If you blink, they move. And then sometimes you'll open your eyes again and you'll see them with these giant fangs in their mouth and everything. So they're very creepy. Like, it's very haunting. Like, you can't close your eyes at all. You can't, like, it's, how do you escape from them? Like, yeah. They're, it's just like these bizarre inanimate objects, but they're not, it's just hit so many creepy levels, and they do such a great job with them on Doctor Who using them, because the Doctor is a very intelligent character, and like, of course he's gonna find his way out, but how is he gonna find his way out, because these things are so like, I don't see how a normal human would be able to survive against them. So they definitely make my list because they're so horrific.
Yeah, I have heard so much things about them. Of course, I've not watched nearly enough Doctor Who. Are those that have been around? Are they like one of those?
They ever since they came out with the new ones, I think they've been in every Doctor's. At least an episode for every Doctor since the new ones started coming out, I believe.
Interesting. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, Doctor Who does have some freaky looking characters, and even the Daleks are a little bit. They're
yeah, they are.
They're a little weird. They're a little creepy. All right. I'm moving on to my number three, and so I had one from a movie, one from a TV show. I'm actually going to go with one of my, probably one, maybe even my top five favorite books. I don't know if I've ever done that list, but it's up there. Though I haven't read it in a very long time, so I don't know how well it holds up. But it's from The Stand. Stephen King's The Stand. And I've not read a lot of Stephen King, but I love The Stand. And the main character in that is Randall Flagg, who is this demonic sorcerer type of character. And for those who have never read The Stand, don't know what it's about. Basically, it's the story of a virus that spreads and kind of almost kills nearly everyone, and then the world tries to kind of come back, and Randall Flagg ends up kind of forming this group in Las Vegas that's basically trying to take over the world. And he's somewhat of a charismatic guy. He actually shows up in a lot of different Stephen King books. I think he shows up in the whatchamacallit, the Dark Tower series as well, and a few others.
I've read a wiki about it, and he shows up in a lot of Stephen King's books.
So he's one of the, you know, one of King's favorite characters, and he's like an archetype that you see a lot, and he holds up really well. Because when I read the Stand, it was, you know, late 2000s, the aughts, or what have you, and that book is written in the 70s. But it's still a quality character who's very freaky. Like, his introduction in that, I still remember, like, he kind of just has, like, this mystery about him. You're not sure exactly where he's coming from. But he's very haunting just reading him. I don't know how much he would translate onto the screen. I've seen images of the TV movie miniseries they did in the 90s, and it looks god-awful. He has a mullet, so it's hard to really take anyone seriously when they have a mullet as a character, unless they're Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah, I don't know. But if you're, I've not read a lot of Stephen King, but that character's always really stuck with me. So Randall Flagg is my number three. All right. Wow, we're already getting into our top two. Breaking it down, I know, Chuck, you've had a variety of different movie characters. You went from Jeepers Creepers to the Creature of the Black Lagoon. What's next on your list?
Next for me is the oldest character I have on my list. And unfortunately, I didn't plan it this way, but it's one that's already been brought up. But I had to keep him in his place on my list at number two. And that is Count Orlok from Nosferatu.
Nice.
I love that character as well. I have also seen the original movie. It's from 1922, so you're talking real old school. That character, like, you know, it's obviously a silent film, which makes it a little bit even creepier. But just like the look of this guy, like Greg was talking about before, you know, the big pointy ears and the bald head, and sort of like the, you know, the really strange, like the tiny mouth with the big teeth kind of coming out the top and everything, just really creepy looking character. And for some reason, for me, has become one of the major faces of Halloween for me. Like, what I think of when you think of something scary. And part of that too, is because a few years ago, with my girlfriend at the time, we took a trip to Salem, Massachusetts. And it was towards the end of October, like, you know, maybe the week before Halloween. And Salem, Massachusetts in October is like awesome. It's like if you like Halloween, like that is the place to be on the entire planet. Like that place is awesome. But one of the cool things in the town, like everything is like scary themed in the town for the most part. One of the cool things there is a museum of horror movie monsters, and it's called Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery. And the face on the outside of this building is Count Orlok from Nosferatu, and inside it's kind of like, it's basically like a wax museum, and you sort of walk through, and they have all the major horror movie characters throughout history as you walk through, and it starts in the beginning and then it gets progressively newer and more recent as you go. But that also sort of deepened my interest in it and stuff too. And then when I found the original movie online somewhere, I ended up watching it, and it's not really that long, because, you know, you talk about an older movie from the 20s, they were very short to begin with, but I watched it and thought it was pretty interesting. Greg, I don't think you would be that scared watching it. So, I mean,
okay.
Maybe, you know, if you let it get in your head too much, but it's like, you'll be watching it and you're like, okay, this, you know, this really isn't scary by today's standards at all. But just looking at the character, like if you came across this dude, like, yeah, you'd probably crap yourself, but it's just it's such a cool looking character.
It's interesting because it's almost like found footage before it's found footage, just because it's like being, right, you know, a silent film, and the film was like deteriorated over time. So it looks like, in a way, like if someone didn't know better, they think it would be like a movie made today to look like it was older, in a way.
Right, right.
Just because how well he looks, like the makeup, and it doesn't look like, you know, you think of classic science fiction films and how often bad things would look. But like his look is amazing. I mean, it's haunting for sure.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, it would be someone from that time period that was just born like disfigured or something. Like, it, you know, it really doesn't look fake at all. It's pretty awesome. But the, you know, and obviously the whole story with that, like, it is based on Dracula, sort of.
Yeah.
And that was the whole deal, like Bram Stoker's family like tried to sue because of the rights and everything like that. And like, I guess like the court ordered like all the copies of Nosferatu to be destroyed or something, but there was like a few that survived, and you know, it ended up becoming its own big thing in its own right. So pretty cool.
Nice. Awesome. It's interesting how many like major movies that were nearly lost forever and aren't even fully there, like something like Metropolis. It's, you know, they, like a big chunk of that movie was lost for a very long time and still is, but yeah, it's very cool.
Crazy.
All right. Greg, moving back over to you. What do you have for your number two?
Number two, I have Pinhead. He just has an awesome look. That's seriously one of the reasons that brought him up so high. But he's a bizarre, like, backstory behind him too, with like this otherworldly realm that he's in, and there's like this bondage kind of feel, and like the sadist like bondage, like there's a whole bunch of weird shit going on with him, so I had to put him in number two. And the black leather thing isn't the thing that looks awesome about him, it's his freaking face with all those little pins coming out of him. So yeah, he mostly made it on my list because he looks freaking awesome as hell, and just that weird realm he comes from.
I've actually never watched the Hellraiser movie, I think, straight through. I've seen pieces of them, but I don't think I've ever actually watched the full one.
They do get progressively worse as you go on through them. So
they're still making them. Didn't like one come out like a year or two ago or so?
Yeah, and I think there's another one coming out soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, he does have that look, Pinhead. That's a creepy-looking dude for sure. Nice. Number two for me is also another character that was already brought up, but, you know, he's so good, how could you not bring him up again? And that, of course, is Hannibal Lecter. As Chuck mentioned, You can't deny how impressive Anthony Hopkins was in that role, one of the greatest movie villains of all time. But also, I'm a huge fan of the TV series Hannibal Lecter as well, where Mads Mikkelsen plays Hannibal Lecter. And a very different take on the character, I think, but maybe arguably, at best, is hard, but he gets to do a lot more since it's a TV series. He gets a lot more room to kind of play with that character, and it's one that takes place before the what occurs in Silence of the Lambs. And I know there's the other one, Manhunter, too, where what's like Brian Cox plays Hannibal Lecter, which I have not seen. He's a smart man, one that has been parodied forever. I do. Silence of the Lambs is another one of those movies I tend to watch every Halloween. Even I kind of like some of the sequels. Hannibal is okay. It's a very different movie. It's almost dark comedy at one point. And then after that, it gets progressive, very, very bad. But the TV show is good, like I mentioned. But, you know, he's smart, intelligent, brutal, and a great cook. I think it's been said before, but the Hannibal TV series is one of the best-looking cooking shows ever. And the food looks delicious, but then when you realize it's supposed to be human meat, it makes it a little less appetizing. But at the same time, it's weird. It's weird, but great at the same time. So, iconic character for sure, so that's why he's my number two. But that brings us to our number one choice, our favorite scary Halloween movie character. Chuck, going back to you, you brought us Hannibal, you brought us Black Lagoon, you brought us Nosferatu. Who is number one for you?
Number one is the guy with the creepy fingernails from Superman 4. He's really scary.
Was it Captain Nitro or something like that? Or
Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man, there you go. Yeah.
That was pretty damn scary, let me tell you.
His voice was amazing. Yeah, so.
I just, you know, Superman could have defeated him with giant nail clippers. But, no, seriously, though, my number one character is, let's see, this is back to more of the new school, sort of. This is more of a present-day thing, but this is a character that I've liked for a long time from a movie that I've liked for a long time. And that, of course, is the Mothman.
Oh.
Knew you were going to bring him up.
Greg's going to get creeped out and have nightmares now tonight. if you're not familiar with Mothman, it's actually it's sort of an urban legend from the state of West Virginia, based on a true story, of course. And, it happened in 1967. There's a small town called Point Pleasant, and the people in the town kept seeing this weird, like, creature with wings. It also had the nickname the Winged Man. People were saying it was like 7-8 feet tall with these red eyes and everything, and there was all these sightings. And then what actually happened, the true part of the story, was the Silver Bridge that goes over, I believe it's the Ohio River, collapsed one night, and it was only a couple of weeks before Christmas and everything, so there was a lot of traffic in the area and everything. A bunch of people unfortunately lost their lives and stuff, but after that tragedy, no one ever saw the creature again. So of course people started running with that, saying that this creature was like foreshadowing this bad event. You know, they weren't sure if he caused it or if he was just trying to warn people. And so this guy named John Keel wrote this book in the 70s that was about it. And the book was called The Mothman Prophecies. And that's what the movie was based on, that book. And the movie had Richard Gere and Deborah Messing in it. And really, really good movie. It's one of those creepy thrillers. Like, it's not like your gory type of horror movie or anything like that. It's really like a creepy, like, your hair's standing up the whole time. You got this shiver up your spine the whole time. It's really, really exciting if you're into that type of thing. And I've even done some side reading on the history of Mothman and stuff like that. Stuff that's not related to the movie, like the actual urban legend. And it's really, really deep. It's really interesting. There's this whole thing that goes into the Men in Black, if you've ever heard of them.
Yes.
There's a conspiracy that they were involved and things were being covered up. And yeah, not the Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones Men in Black, but that the Men in Black phenomenon that people supposedly see these guys in black.
Read up more on the Men in Black. They are creepy by themselves. They're apparently very bizarre if you encounter one in person.
Yeah, I've only read a little bit about them, but it seemed interesting. And then there's this whole thing too with I guess like this, there was this chemical company nearby that they said they were trying to cover things up, and you know, the reason that, like, I guess the people were claiming that the government was there to try to like cover things up, and you know, there's this thing branches out into like all these different things, but the Mothman character was something that came out of this and that a lot of people claim to have seen in that town and even in other parts of the country before natural disasters. They claim they see it and stuff like that, but you know, I don't really believe it, but I think it's interesting. I think there is some truth to it, and I think there was something shady going on there in some way, but it's a good movie if you ever get a chance to watch it.
Really not a good movie.
Yes, it is. It's awesome.
Not a good movie.
Greg is not a fan. I have not seen it, so I cannot chime in. All right. Yeah, Mothman. I know. I think you mentioned that. I think last time we talked about Mothman, Greg had to leave the podcast. So
he did. He had to leave the room.
So it seems to be you're getting over it bit by bit, Greg. So.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, let's get off the Mothman for now. We can, but that is quite the intriguing story for sure. And Greg, what is your number one?
Number one is Nuclear Man. Now, it's actually somebody that's kind of close to Nuclear Man. He has a little bit longer fingernails. I'm going with Freddy Krueger. He is horrific. Because he also, you can't get rid of him because you got to fall asleep at some point and he's going to come kill you in your dreams. He's a creepy pedophile rapist dude, so that's also creepy. But then something awesome about him is that he is kind of humorous as well. He adds a little bit of humor into it and everything. And he also has an awesome look with the weird face and the hat and the gloves with the fingernails knife situation going on. Not a huge fan of the sweater deal going on, but the rest of it's pretty awesome. So my number one is Freddy Krueger.
It gets cold down in those boiler rooms. Actually, no, it doesn't. That doesn't work. But do you have a favorite? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
It's funny. I bought a sweater one time that like was not the same color as that. It was because his is like red and green, right? It's like red and dark green, I think.
Yeah, it's red and like a grayish. It's kind of a dark green. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, I bought this shirt that was like red and like gray, like a lighter gray. I didn't think it looked like it, but everyone at work like made fun of me because I looked like Freddy Krueger, and I never wore it again.
Nice.
I've seen people wear a sweatshirt like or a sweater like that before.
Do you have a favorite Nightmare on Elm Street film?
I think I just like the first one the most. It's got Johnny Depp in it and everything back when he was good.
No fan of Dream Warriors, where it's basically like a superhero film.
No.
But I've watched like the first four, I think. I've not watched New Nightmare, which I heard is pretty good. But number two was pretty awful. So apparently it was made like a year after the first one, and it was a lot different. But the third one, I do actually like Dream Warriors. That one's a lot of fun. It's a lot different. And but did you even kind of like the remake that they had with what's his name as Freddy Krueger? The guy who played Rorschach, Jackie Earl Haley.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's good. It's Freddy looks weird in a way because it's CGI and but I mean I thought it was fine. I don't think it was a needed movie. It didn't really, I would say, do much or a remake. I think it was better than like the Jason remakes that we've gotten and stuff like that. But anyways, for my number one, I'm going with the character I feel like probably scared me the most starting as a little kid. and still now to this day. I just think it's like the ultimate horror villain, even though
Mothman.
You could argue it's more of a science fiction character, but I think it is also very, very scary. And that is the Xenomorph, the alien from Alien and Aliens. I just remember being a little kid, and actually I think the first time I was encountered this was from Tiny Toons, strangely enough, and it still freaked me out then, just the mouth thing. Actually, you know, it's the ultimate, like, villain in a way. I mean, even the way it's born, as it kind of bursts out of your chest, like that still, that sequence is so hard to watch and witness. It's so freaky. And the fact that it's just, it can be this, it's very stealthy and do jump scares. It can be this beast and attack you with, like, locusts with a bunch of aliens. It's silent and deadly and powerful. And if you try to cut it in half, you'll get killed because you'll have acid bleed on you. So it is like the ultimate villain in that sense, from its birth until, you know, trying to kill it, and how it takes on the different properties, whoever it kind of is born into and stuff like that. So where you have like the different versions of the character, and it's one that's been around forever in a lot of different forms. But I just think it, you know, it's a H.R. Giger creation, and that guy is he's a strange man, but he's also very creative and man. And like Alien is just, you know, it's similar to the creature in the Black Lagoon. It just has a look to it that's just immediately recognizable and frightening. So that's why it's my number one.
Xenomorphin time.
Perfect. I want to see them take on a Xenomorph in the Power Rangers movie that's coming out.
Aren't they making a new movie in that franchise, sort of?
They are. It's like, I don't know, because they have rumors for the next Alien movie, and then there's rumors for like the next Prometheus movie, and like they're kind of in the same universe. So I don't know which one's happening first, which one's actually happening. The guy who made District 9 was in line to make another Alien movie, but that fell through. But the first two, and I even like Alien 3. I don't know. I just think it's a great character, a great creature for sure. So that's why it's my number one.
I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised that a couple of people weren't chosen, a couple of characters.
Yeah. Michael Myers wasn't chosen, Jason. Any other ones that you could think of that should have been mentioned but were not?
I think a very classic Halloween character, Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, very true.
I think maybe that's just so common, like everyone's just seen it every year for like ever. I don't know. It's like one of the faces of Halloween for the most part. Like,
it's had so many different variations and takeoffs.
Yeah.
And everything from freaking weenie and so yeah, that should be mentioned for sure. But even like the Blob, I some other ones that like came to my mind were Them, which was this classic sci-fi movie of with gigantic ants, and it's
just, I saw that.
It's insane. It's, you know, it's like where everything was nuclear, but it, you know, it's fun. Any other honorable mentions, Greg? Anything else you wanted to bring up that has been mentioned?
The Mummy.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, true. Yes. I think, and the Mummy was like, you know, you have the original Universal Mummy, but then you kind of have when they did the Mummy movies in the 90s, which were not like as scary, but I know like some parts of those scared the crap out of me as a teenager. With the, I think his name was Imhotep or whatever, the bald dude.
Yes.
Some of those scenes were pretty scary when he had the bugs crawling out of his mouth and everything.
Oh, the scarab beetles! The scarab beetles kind of creep me out.
Oh, I hate those things.
Other one, kind of Ghost Man from Scream. I that's an iconic look for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you want to count it, would be, you know, Linda Blair from the Exorcist, or a recent film like The Babadook, which is a really great, crazy character.
I would say Dracula. We kind of covered it with Nosferatu, but like the original Dracula, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and also Chucky, that was always...
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about Chucky before, and I forgot about him.
Yeah. And
oh, thanks, I appreciate that.
Sorry.
other ones that come to mind: Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, I guess maybe from the Saw films, something like Jigsaw. Even though like I've only seen I think the first couple, and then he dies, but he still stays around. I don't know; those movies get confusing. But if you like the Saw films, I think you'll like the collector and a collection. I kind of like those more than Saw because they're not as freaking, you know, torture porny.
I think you've coined a new term.
No, I've heard it used elsewhere. I can't take credit for that. So
no, I mean you threw the E on the end there, the torture porny. I don't know. Right,
that's all I can think.
I guess I'm not like a huge fan of like the gory slasher bleeding all over the place movies so much. Like I'm more into like the creepy element of it, you know, the sometimes the psychological and sometimes the unseen, you know, it's like even more scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching The Conjuring 2 with my wife a couple weeks ago, and I like both of those movies, but I do notice like the build up to me is so much more scarier than like the last 15 minutes or 20. One thing is kind of hit their like climax, it kind of loses it for me because I'm like, well, I felt the buildup was a lot more scary than this extra, you know, this another exorcism.
Yeah.
But, very cool. But I mean, I'm sure there's a lot. I mean, there's so many sinking horror movies and so many big ones that we probably missed and didn't talk about. But if you want to let us know what your top five were or ones we should have brought up but did not, you can do so by going to geekcastradio.com and commenting on the episode post. Sending us an email at geekcastradio.com or feedback at geekcastradio.com. Or we're also on Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, TCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at HeroicAgeChuck.
I am at CreateForge.
And I am at MovieRevolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or the Men in Black.
Or the Man in Black. This has been Dan, the Man in White. We've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
Or the Man in Yellow with the tiara.
Nice. I love the Man in Yellow. I want to see a horror film mesh with a comic book movie like Wolverine meets Jason and he just kills him immediately. It's like, that was easy enough. He just had a knife. It's like, that's all he had.
One I forgot to bring up was how about the Phantom of the Opera?
Ooh, that's musicals.
What's that guy's name? Lon Chaney was he the guy? Lon Chaney Jr.
And Gerald Butler played the role in the most recent movie. He can actually sing. The dude can sing.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's the guy that was in 300, right?
Yeah. And nothing else.